Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Welcome back. We're in the land of complexity again. By that I mean Jiva Goswami's very elaborate discussion on Canto 10, Chapter 37, Text 22. The translation of the verse, just for refreshers. This is Narada speaking to Krishna to encourage Krishna to move on in his pastimes from Vrindavan, going to Mathura, etc. And after speaking about his upcoming pastimes, he says, "Let us approach you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for shelter. You are full of perfectly pure spiritual awareness and are always situated in your original identity. Since your will is never thwarted, you have already achieved all possible desirable things. And by the power of your spiritual energy, you remain eternally aloof from the flow of the qualities of illusion." So we've been hearing like 60 pages worth of understanding that, because there's many essences, and how the spiritual potency, the focus has been the spiritual potency animating even the material potency, Maya, the illusory potency, and how that works, what's the relationship, what's the dynamic. So I'm going to go back a little bit from where we ended up last time we discussed this section, Bhagavat Sandarbha, where Jiva Goswami is explaining what are the varieties of Krishna's spiritual potency or internal potency or Swarup Shakti that we hear. It's part of him. He doesn't need to go get something. He's full. And the fullness includes his potencies. So the one of those spiritual potencies is Murti Shakti. We'll be hearing some more about the deity, that spiritual form of Krishna in the spiritual realm, the spiritual form of Krishna that manifests within his dham when he performs his pastimes, the Murti Shakti that manifests the deity that we worship. It's a spiritual potency. And that spiritual potency, Murti Shakti, manifests within the state of consciousness that's called the Vasudev state. Vasudev appears where there's Vasudev state. He appears in the mind of Vasudev, or he appears wherever there's. So what's the Vasudev state? That's also, it's another way of saying, or it's an aspect of his spiritual potency, or Vishuddha Sattva. So here we go. The Murti Shakti manifests the Sri Vigraha, the form of the Lord. In the spiritual realm, when he performs his pastimes, in this realm, the deity form, Sri Vigraha, the form of the Lord, manifest by Murti Shakti. This is called Vasudev. Maybe you'll remember the verse that we discussed last time. It was 4.3.23. This is Lord Shiva speaking. Here's the BBT translation. Lord Shiva says, I am always engaged in offering obeisances to Lord Vasudeva in pure Krishna consciousness. The Sanskrit of in pure Krishna consciousness is Satvam Vishuddham. So, we're used to hearing Sattva as a mode. In this case, Prabhupada's translation, it's pure consciousness. Sattvam, in this case, means consciousness. Pure consciousness, Vishuddha Sattvam. I'm always engaged in offering obeisances to Lord Vasudev in pure Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is always pure consciousness, in which the personality of Godhead, known as Vasudeva, is revealed without any covering. So this, it's the connection is Murti Shakti reveals the form. Murti Shakti reveals the form when there is pure consciousness, or Vishuddha Sattvam. Jiva Goswami's rendering is slightly different, but this principle-wise, it's the same. The pure Antakarana is called Vasudev because there the Supreme Lord appears without coverings. Without coverings. We're going to hear that several times. What's the covering? Well, upadis is one of our things that we hear all the time. And Krishna doesn't have any upadis. He doesn't have any coverings. There's no, and the mind that has no coverings, that's where Krishna appears. Pure. So, pavritaha is the Sanskrit word. We're going to hear it again, so get used to it. Without any coverings. I'll make reference again. Apavritaha. The pure Antakaran is called Vasudev because there the Supreme Lord appears without coverings. In that Antakarana, that's pure consciousness, Shuddha, Vishuddha Sattva, I worship the Supreme Lord Vasudev beyond the material senses by offering respects. So the offering respects is the medium. It's the senses engaged in the service of the master of the senses. It's not in itself bhakti. It's an expression. It's an extension of bhakti. It's a form or manifestation within this world of the bhakti that's of the other world. Offering obeisances. I'll make mention because terminology is important. Prabhupada didn't use this word Antakarana much. I mean, I'm not familiar at all. But our acharyas use it, and commonly, from my experience, it's used to mean the sum total of material impressions in the mind. Antakarana. And those impressions cause material activity with the time factor moving and having desire and antakarana, and just things start to happen. An example that's used to indicate antakarana is a person that drowned or nearly drowned in water, and they see water, body of lake, and that antakarana gets triggered. It's trauma. Antakarana gets triggered. It's not the lake. It's the past experience, and the antakarana gets triggered, and they feel fear. But there's a spiritual antakarana, and that's this Vishuddha Sattva. And that's where Lord Vasudeva appears, beyond the material senses. Okay, so moving along. The meaning is this. Vishuddha means it is devoid of any material portion, or the coverings. Vishuddha, no material coverings. That's apavrita, since it is a function of the Swarup Shakti. It is a function of the Swarup Shakti. That's the appearance of the form of the Lord. And then in turn, bhakti itself, which is meditating upon the form of the Lord, offering obeisances, the mind and the senses, the working senses and the subtle senses. Bhakti is engaging them in the service of master of the senses, Krishna, Rishikesh. So this Vishuddham, or consciousness that's pure, beyond coverings, is a function of the Swarup Shakti. That which is sattva, which is especially pure, is called Vasudeva. Now in this case, the sattva means Vishuddha sattva. Why is this existence of the nature of Vasudeva, this Vishuddha sattva? It is so called because in that condition, tatra, Vasudeva manifests. Therefore, Vasudeva. The next sentence it says, this is the conventional meaning. Vasudeva means the son of Vasudeva. That's the conventional meaning. But then the, you know, more technical meaning is, Vasudeva is the appearance through Swarup Shakti of one who is Vishuddha Sattva consciousness. This is the second meaning. Vasudeva means he who is perceived in Vasudeva condition. He is famous as the Supreme Lord. He is perceived in Vishuddha Sattva. The meaning is explained by taking the conventional meaning of Vasudeva, meaning the son of Vasudeva. Then he goes on to, we had some discussion last time we were together on the following verse from Krishna's talks with Uddhava. Dharma ishtam dhanam nirnam. Dhanam, wealth. Dharma ishtam dhanam nirnam. The respectable wealth for human beings is possession of dharma. Dharma ishtam dhanam nirnam. So he's going to connect. Real wealth is Krishna consciousness. Next commentary. Since vasu can mean both wealth, and wealth means dharma, Vasudeva can mean he is revealed, Deva, by the wealth of dharma, vasu, in the form of bhakti. Pure bhakti. Pure bhakti or pure Krishna consciousness. He, Vasudeva, reveals himself. And that's the real wealth of dharma. The real wealth of dharma is not material assets, it's bhakti, pure bhakti. Thus, Vasudeva means Vishuddha Sattva. Now back, the vigraha, now we're going back to Murti Shakti manifest vigraha, Krishna's form. The vigraha, a self-manifesting light, is revealed by knowledge of the Lord. The vigraha, a self-manifesting light, is revealed by knowledge of the Lord. That's another one of the internal potencies. Another one of the internal spiritual potencies is chit, or sambit. Sambit. Then we can know, oh, there's the form of the Lord. Because just like Muchukunda, he saw the form of Krishna in the cave, but sambit wasn't active. And Krishna said who he was. You're my worshipable Lord. Sambit, the light went on. To illustrate that, Jiva Goswami refers to another Uddhava Gita verse, chapter 25. Quote, knowledge concerning the Jiva, apart from the body, is in sattva. Knowledge with various options of doubt is in rajas. Knowledge of material life is in tamas. Knowledge concerning me, however, is understood to be beyond the gunas. That's vishuddha. Per commentary. In many places in scripture, knowledge of the Lord is proved to be beyond the gunas. That is shown by the word vishuddha. It is clear that it is self-manifesting, because you keep saying this over and over, self-manifesting. There's no other cause. The cause is Krishna, and Krishna has no cause. He eternally is situated in Vishuddha Sattva. Self-manifesting, arising from the Swarup Shakti. Being perceived in Sattva also means that the Lord is perceived in the senses, which are Vishuddha Sattva. Now, the senses that are in Vishuddha Sattva are not the material ones. We have material senses, and they're not Vishuddha. But when they become, by bhakti, by contact with the internal potency, they become purified, then you can perceive spiritually, and otherwise you can't. So that this is a functional definition. There's different types of definitions. A functional definition is, now he's explaining, that's what's in this 4.3.23. Lord Shiva saying what he does. He's always meditating on the personality of Godhead. But meditation requires using the mind, which is, in the normal state, it's material, as a covering of that which is beyond coverings. So, Vasudev appears, iyate, uncovered, apavritaha. That's 4.3.23. Vasudev appears uncovered. If he were material sattva, the Lord would merely be like a reflection. So this is a philosophical thing. Things that appear in your mind feel like a dream. Or, I'm looking out the window and I see your house. And there's the house, and there's the house number, and there's the car in the driveway. But that impression that's in the mind is just a reflection. There's the reflecting surface, the mind, and the real object is out there. It's not in my mind. It's a philosophical point. This is the argument that was made by the meditators in Tapaloka. Pippalaya Rishi was trying to convince Gopakumar, we're going around here and there looking for Madan Gopal. We see him all the time. In fact, seeing happens in the mind before it happens in the eye. The mind's eye, as the expression goes. But it's just a reflection. It's looks like the real thing. But it's not the same. So that's what's being said here. Shiva says he meditates on Vasudeva, the personality of Godhead. So now, that's a function of the Sarup Shakti. Vasudev appears uncovered. If he were material sattva, if the object was material, the form was material sattva, the Lord would be merely a reflection. Why? So here we go. Upadis on Brahman, like we're spirit soul and, you know, I'm a sannyasi. So the I'm a sannyasi idea is an upadi. It's not who I am. So if we say Krishna has a material form that's made of goodness, then that would just be he's an upadi. Krishna is just an upadi. Upadi superimposed on Brahman. Upadis on Brahman, such as this material world, including material sattva, are said to be a reflection, like a reflection of Brahman. Then he explains, a reflection in a mirror is covered by dirt and then is uncovered by cleaning. This is this uncovered apavritaha. But still, even when the mirror is cleaned, what's in the mirror is not the real form. It's a reflection of the form. This form in sattva is meditated upon intensely, Shiva says, vidhyate, by me in my mind. Sattva becomes one with the mind. Otherwise, it would not be possible to meditate on the Lord with the mind. Meditation in Tapaloka purifies. Meditation that's not meditation upon the Lord, it helps quiet and still and brings the mind to material goodness, and you feel a little relief from tamas and rajas until you finish your meditation and the rajas and tamas starts churning up again. And if the object of meditation is the form of the Lord, which is in Vishuddha Sattva, then the mind can be not just calmed, but the mind can be cleansed, and the form of the Lord can appear in the mind. That's what Paramatma realization is. They see the form of the Lord in their spiritualized mind. Keeps going. Doubt. What's that? One should simply meditate using the mind. Why is sattva necessary, the actual form? It is necessary because the Lord is beyond adho, knowledge of the senses, akshaja. It's all this talk about the spiritual potency from that verse of 27 of what Narada was saying, and illustrated by what Shiva is saying. Meditation without a form, a legitimate form of the Supreme Lord, stays on the material platform. But meditation of that which is of the Vishuddha Sattva realm is necessary because the Lord is beyond the senses. Paragraph. The Lord who is revealed by his Sarup Shakti is served anuvidyate with obeisances. Namasa. That's what Shiva does. It's service. And obeisances is part of his service. And even if the obeisances are within his mind, it's a service using the mind. The Lord is not revealed by the mind or by obeisances. The Lord, who is not seen by us, is served by us using obeisances. This meaning makes sense. He's explaining how does a devotional service, how does bhakti shakti work? although we're using something material that connects with something spiritual. Since the Vasudeva state is the very form of Vishuddhasattva, which reveals the form of the Lord, in a special manifestation there is personification of Shakti as the wife of Dharma. So this is a new topic. The wife of Dharma. Dharma is the name of the father of Naranarayan. His wife's name is Murti. And the combination of Dharma and Murti is the form of the Lord. Murti Shakti manifests the form of the Lord. Okay. One of the names of Vasudeva, the father of Krishna, is Anakandunduvi. He's called Anakandunduvi. It's going to be mentioned shortly. It comes in ninth canto. Anakandunduvi, it was also given that name because when he took his birth, there were kettle drums and drums. That's what Anakandunduvi means. In the sky. Proclaiming, this is a perfectly truthful and pure person taking birth. Thus, Anakandunduvi. So one of Vasudeva's names is Anakandunduvi. The form of Vasudeva's wife, Devaki, right? The form of his wife is understood to be the manifestation of an angsa of the Lord's Shakti. Angsa means a part. Which appears as Shraddha, Pushti, etc. Those are those potencies, the internal potencies. So he's saying Devaki, the wife of Vasudeva, is an angsa, or an expansion of these internal potencies. Thus, she should be understood to be a manifestation of the Shakti, internal potency. Quoting Bhagavatam 1.3.9, fourth, appearing in the wife of Dharma, he became Naranarayana and performed severe austerities which give peace to the soul. Dharma Kala, what does Kala mean? Portion of a plenary portion. Kala. There's Angsa and Kala. Dharma Kala, here means the Shakti of Dharma. That's his wife. And she's named Murti. The Vishuddha Sattva form, called Vasudeva, is this woman who is Shakti, since the result was the appearance of the Lord named Naranarayan in her. She is named Murti. Quoting 4.1.52, Murti was the source of the Lord, who is the ocean of all auspicious qualities, Naranarayan. In her, Murti, there was the manifestation, Utpati, of Bhagavan, with all qualities. She was called Murti because she was the cause of the manifestation of the form of eternity, knowledge, and bliss, called Bhagavan. By seeing the result to be manifestation of the Lord, it is concluded that she has the same Shuddhasattva nature as Anakandunduvi, Vasudeva. This is just like reconfirming his point, which is, the point is, Vishuddhasattva, or the Vasudeva state, is the place where the form of the Lord appears. And the form of the Lord appears by this Murti Shakti. Almost done. Next, If he were not Vishuddha Sattva, then the phrase Hare Sthanaha, Sthanaha means the seat of or the place where someone resides. So Hare Sthanaha is where Hari resides. That's in the Vishuddha Sattva state. He appeared in the mind of us. It's what the connection that's easiest for me is Krishna appeared first in the mind of Vasudeva. And this Vasudeva mind means pure or pure consciousness, but he appeared in his mind, transferred to the mind of Devaki, which means her mind was also pure. He appeared in her mind. So this is, if he were not Vishuddha Sattva, then the phrase Hari, Hare, Sthana becomes meaningless. One should also accept that the appearance of Sri, so this is the potency, one of the internal potencies, and she may appear. The appearance of Sri and other Shaktis takes place by Vishuddha Sattva. So Krishna's form and his potency's form, his Shakti form, appears where there's Vishuddha Sattva. Predominated by a special portion of Ladini and other elements. You know, there's elsewhere he goes into what those other elements are. He doesn't do it here. Last paragraph. These spiritual Shaktis take three forms. It's like we had this whole long list. And this is a sum conclusion. There's three forms. The form of abundance, the form that creates abundance, and angsas of that abundance. And abundance, I don't know what the Sanskrit word is. Opulences, Aishwarya. He lists wealth, beauty, etc. Forms of abundance. Forms that create abundance of mercy. You know, the nature of Radharani is she's very merciful. The nature of Sita, she's very merciful. The nature of the Lord's internal potency, she's very merciful. That's good news for us, right? We need some mercy. And angsas of that abundance of the Lord. Okay, so that's the three forms. And then there's two types. Those without form, just pure Shakti, and those with form as presiding deities situated along with the Lord's form, appearing with him when he appears on earth. Kind of like, you know, the sunshine. It's an aspect of the sun. And then there's the connection between the sunshine and the source of the sun, or the sun god. There's effulgence. So without form, just pure Shakti, but of course that's incomplete. So someone may have some realization of, like, I don't know, I want wealth. And they're not necessarily connecting the wealth with the proprietor of wealth, Narayan. But that's a form that creates abundance. Abundance and creates abundance, but it's incomplete. So, we have some more, that's it for today. And we're ready for the next Bhagavat Sandarbha section, starting, this is Tuesday morning. I guess it'll be Wednesday morning. It's certainly very involved. And, keeping it, something that's really easy to understand, although, in the material world, people do not understand it, is the touch of spirit is necessary for matter to do anything. Say it negatively. Without the touch of spirit, matter doesn't do anything. And as long as we have material bodies, then we have senses and we have mind and there's sense objects and we do stuff connected with sense objects and so on. We work, we have activities, we have friendships, we have stuff we do. It doesn't happen without touch of the soul, which is spiritual. And the soul can't do anything without the sanction of the Supreme Soul. We don't, because of ignorance, because of illusion, or Maya, take your pick, we don't see all of that. We just see the material stuff going on and thinks, how to be the enjoyer of the material stuff going on. Reduce the suffering portion, because that means happiness is reduction of suffering. And that's the material paradigm. And then there's a spiritual paradigm that says, without the touch of spirit, nothing happens. And, one of his favorite punching bags is the scientists. And the scientists don't understand these things. They're just looking at material laws, cause and effect, and that's the program. They don't have this fundamental understanding about life. One of his repeated references when he was invited to MIT, his talk was, where's the technology of what's the difference between a living person and a dead person? There's so many technologies here, where's that one? And without that one, what's the use of all the other technologies? It's just on the material plane. So touch of spirit is required to move matter. And without the touch of spirit, matter doesn't move. It's a spiritual reality. But we're commonly conditioning and covered consciousness doesn't factor that. So once you take that principle, the Bhagavatam is taking that principle and going more deeply into that principle. So that's an interesting notion. You need the touch of Krishna to bring anything into being. Whether it's the universe or life and death, or varieties of species, or you name it. Without the Supreme Spirit, the soul doesn't have the capacity to move matter. That takes the sanction of the Supreme Soul. And then how does the Supreme Soul work to sanction things in this world? And how does the Supreme Soul work in the spiritual world to manifest himself? And it won't happen if there's material senses and material mind and material consciousness. We won't see, and so then we're still in la-la land somewhere. Faithful la-la land residents. We're not really sure. Faithful, but not really sure. So how does it work? To actually have the direct experience, you have to have the qualification. When the qualification is there, the means to get the qualification is the bhakti process. So how does the bhakti process work? It brings about a purified consciousness state, the Vishuddha Sattva or Vasudeva state, and then the Lord appears and says, I'm like this. And then there's cognizance, Sandini Shakti. I mean, there's a science, there's a spiritual science of how it works. So we're hearing the spiritual science. Supposing you're not a scientist, you're just like a simple Prabhu. You like cooking for Krishna and singing for Krishna and you're just a simple Prabhu. Well, you know, the scientist knows how it's happening. And because there's all this coronavirus thing, to whatever degree the scientists understand viruses, they can explain what not to do and what to do, and they can, by research, come up with a, whatever it's called, you know, the antidote for the virus and so forth. There's a science to all of this. So without scientists, we're not going to know how the whole thing works. We don't even have to know how the whole thing works. The scientists need to know how the whole thing works and come up with an antidote or a vaccination. And the vaccination works because they know how it works. So Vaishnavas have the opportunity to know. I mean, we can know what we need to know. We can know, in fact, the personality of Godhead has no material form, yet he has form. And he has potencies, and these potencies do all kinds of things. And this one does this, and that one does that, and they cooperate together and do different things together, and they're all resting on their self-manifesting potencies, resting upon the form of the Lord, his Swarup. And if we want to see God, about a month ago, someone was encouraging me to look at George Harrison's My Sweet Lord performance in Madison Square Garden. And it was really heart-rending. I want to see you. Woo woo. No, with enough bop and bip and, you know, pizzazz that the listener would, you know, be tapping their foot or something. But he was calling out that he wants to see. So, our teaching, the spiritual path, is to be in the presence of Krishna, and to be in the service of Krishna is to be in the presence of Krishna. And like Bhaktisiddhanta said, don't try to see Krishna, try to act in such a way Krishna will recognize you and want to see you. But it's still, you know, wanting to see him is important, not a zero. The means to see him is through acting in such a way that's pleasing to him. And then we can and will have left behind, you know, the material paradigm. And it can't touch you. That's exactly the point that Narada is making to Krishna. You have devotees all over the place, especially in Mathura and Dwarka. Believe them. They're in fear of Kamsa and so many other demons. So they can be freed from fear by your presence. Please. That's how this text 27 starts. We take shelter of you. They take shelter of you. You're their protector. You can free them from the contamination of fear. Because when you're fearful, it kind of takes over everything. And as long as there's absorption in material consciousness, there's fear. On the Labor Day weekend, since it's pandemic, we're not doing lots of things. But one of the things that I've been asked to do is, for your information, in Mankato, University, Minnesota State University at Mankato. Divya Leela forged ahead and rented a place. She's now calling it the same name as it's what's called that IIT place. No, she's calling it Sacred Sound, same as their club. The club is not a Bhakti Yoga club, it's called the Sacred Sound Club. And, you know, she has a mix of Western and Indian, largely Western and Indian group of kids or young people. And so it's pandemic time. So they're having an outdoor like picnic thing on a Monday, Labor Day Monday. So I'm supposed to speak on something in the evening. And she sent a list, and it's, you know, all these, the topics that are most on the forefront of the student's mind that she interact with are fear, anxiety, stress, and, you know. They want a solution. But it's not just those people, it's, you know, persons that are honest with themselves, that's that kind of gnaws away at their life. And if you don't take a spiritual solution, there's no solution. Prabhupada's expression is blowing on a boil. You ever have a boil? It hurts. And so a movement of air on the place that hurts, where the infection is, there's some really short-term relief, but the infection is still there and it hurts. So you have to relieve the infection, not just blow on the boil. So let's see if the students are going to be able to take the spiritual solution. But we're getting, you know, a kind of more complete picture based upon Narada's words to Krishna of how to just not just mitigate or diminish, but completely take away material suffering. No more material suffering. Yay. But there's a price. What's the price? You have to, you know, let go of that and accept this. Ooh. And how does it work? There's a science to how it works. So this is for the spiritual scientist to know how it works. Any discussion? This little complex discussion on Krishna's spiritual potencies.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, I have a few questions. You mentioned Murti Shakti manifests where there is Vasudev consciousness. So does that apply to the deity form appearing in our homes and in the temple?
Yes. No, the deity, it depends on how you view the deity. Supposing you're a sadhaka, you're not in pure Vasudev state yet. Let's just imagine that's maybe the case. So we're going to see the deity form differently than if the consciousness is Vishuddha Sattva. But the merciful manifestation of the Lord in this Archa Vigraha is we can then begin the practice of purifying our mind and senses by seeing the form of the Lord. The form is spiritual. Our consciousness may not be.
Okay, so it's not a prerequisite.
Yeah. It's a merciful manifestation. Often Prabhupada would describe like that, merciful manifestation. We're not qualified. He manifests anyways.
Thank you, Maharaj. You mentioned that Lord Shiva meditates on the Vasudev form.
Well, it doesn't say the Vasudev form. He meditates on Vasudev. In that set of prayers, in the prayers that he gives to the Prachetas, he mentions each of the Chaturvyuha forms. So it's speaking generically rather than of the four. He meditates on Vasudeva. Do you understand the point I'm making?
Yeah, because in Srimad Bhagavatam I don't have the reference, but I thought I read somewhere that he's meditating on the Sankarsana.
Yes. So this is not. You understand. It's the not of the four. He meditates on Vasudeva. He's meditating on Vasudeva. That form that's of the manifest in the Vasudeva state. There's two different ways. It's just like Atma can be used in different ways. Vasudeva can be used in different ways depending upon context. Okay.
Maharaj, that example you gave of Muchikunda, where the Samvit potency, originally when he woke up in that cave, he couldn't recognize Krishna, but when Krishna said who he was, then immediately the Samvit potency acted and he was able to understand. So, the question is like, is that what happens to all of us when we hear first time through a sampradaya?
Well, it depends on how pure our consciousness is, how quickly it will act. We may have to hear lots of times, but it's the same principle.
And now follow-up question is that Samvit potency increases as we hear more and more? So more revelation come to us, more surrender as we...
I mean, that's just your relation, or each of our relationship with Krishna. It's going to be, the experience is going to be different for each of us depending upon our relationship with Krishna. So the principle is yes, but it's not a mechanical hearing more and more and, oh, now I have more Samvit potency acting on me. It's a relationship. That's all I'm saying. Okay?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, I have a few questions. So when you mentioned about antakarana, so you gave an example of like when someone sees a lake and they feel fear of water. So I was thinking that we are spiritual beings and we had been associating with Krishna. So why never that memory comes? Like it must also be in our antakarana stored, right?
Well, there's two ways. Please be careful with your use of terminology as you're experimenting and exploring. There's a material and there's a spiritual. And the spiritual is there, the pure consciousness. That's how it was used in this translation by Jiva Goswami. It's the pure and it's there. The impression is there. And Krishna appears where in the spiritual impression, then there's the material covering. And it's not there. It's forgotten. It's covered by illusion. So there's two ways in which antakarana can be used. Just like two ways in which, the more than two ways in which atma can be used and etc. Words need to be understood in context. Okay?
So, in Archa Vigra manifestation question regarding to that. So externally we see that there is a sculptor who carves the deities and installation process is there, but still like internal potency is acting in this whole process.
Yeah.
And Lord is coming by his own will.
You're looking at me like I'm not sure
I'm
what you want.
Understanding.
You're looking for confirmation?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And then when Pippalayan Rishi said that Lord appears in mind, so I was thinking that unless it could be similar to that previous one. I don't know if I am. So unless one has seen the Lord, how can he appear in the mind?
The argument of Pipavaina Rishi is the seeing takes place in the mind before the seeing takes place in the senses.
So Lord appears in the mind.
This is Pipavaina Rishi's argument. The Vishnu Dutas refute it.
Like in Dhruva Maharaj pastime also, we see that Lord appeared in his mind.
And then? He appeared in before him.
Right.
Okay. And there's a difference between the two. It's not one and the same. Pipavaina Rishi was saying it's one and the same, so what are you doing?
But then
the Vishnu Dutas say it's not the same.
Yeah.
No, it. Just to educate ourselves about what it means to always see Krishna. So it is said, because this question came up 3 times in the past month. Why did Prabhupada, in different ways of asking the question, why did Prabhupada want to go to Vrindavan and leave his body in Vrindavan when he's seeing Krishna everywhere? If you're seeing Krishna everywhere, you don't need to go to anywhere. You're there. And that seeing is absolute. And there's a distinction between that seeing and the other seeing. You know, there's seeing the deity form, and then there's the experience of the absolute nature of the deity form. So we don't need a deity form. Just need, you know, to know that we just need to know God is everywhere. And that knowing that God is everywhere, not the same as seeing the deity form. What to speak of the deity form, then revealing that the deity is a person. So there's degrees of realization. I want to see you. Woo woo. I want to know you.
Let's get 2 more questions.
Okay.
So Maharaj, when you said faithful but not really sure, it really struck me hard because I am in that state. Could you kindly elaborate a little more on that?
Faithful, more on what?
Faithful, but not really sure, because I feel that fear is there, although faith is there, that Krishna is there, but still fear is manifesting. So
I'll just turn it around. Here's the mirror. And turn it around and say that the condition when there's no more covering is when there's no more fear. Now, it doesn't mean you have to leave your body and then there's no more fear. You can be fearless even within the body when the covering is removed, when consciousness is Vishuddha. But it's to the degree to which where we have 1 foot in 2 different boats and trying to cross the river. Okay.
Last message that. So in my life, I was thinking that hearing, chanting, reading, other than that, is there anything transcendental?
Anything transcendental?
Yeah. Which is beyond the modes, like I.
Something that our acharyas teach is the 2 things that are in this world that are transcendental. Are the name and the soul. Purely transcendental, not just, you know, spiritualized material energy.
Even my reading, hearing could also be in modes. So
not only could be.
It is.
Yeah. The same question asked in a different way. It's the sadhana stage, and we go forward with, we don't yet have a full, we haven't yet realized, we have a notion, I'm spirit soul. We have a notion, the holy name and Krishna are non-different. We have a notion. And it's not, and we have faith in it, you know, both. But we're not at the realized stage, so we have sadhana to help us realize. And there are things that we do that are supportive of sadhana to make it pure sadhana, to move from the practice to the realization stage. That's where we are. Don't beat yourself up because you're in that stage. You just continue with, you know, the capacity that Krishna has endowed you with. And you do that and offer that. Next. Yeah.
Kind of going off of her, what does like fearlessness look like?
Okay. You want to hear more about fearlessness?
Just a little bit.
Okay. Maybe that's what I'll speak about on Monday night, because that's what that was on the list. If I'm not mistaken, something, a resource you can check out, Nityananda Pran was asked to speak about that for TSI. And I'm sure it was thoughtful, whatever it was he presented. It may have been a combination of things, but yeah. I think that's in the list. And, you know, keeping it really simple, it can be a big topic, but one of the phrases that we came across, I think it was yesterday, is abhinivesh, which means absorption in. There's being attracted to a particular object for enjoyment's sake. That has a term, kama. And then abhinivesh is a pervasive general propensity to enjoy, absorption in stuff. And it's absorption in prakriti, the mood of being the enjoyer of prakriti. That's the birthplace from which fear arises. Now, what are you to do? Because, you know, you're a spirit soul, and as spirit souls, part and parcel of Krishna, he is the supreme enjoyer, so the propensity to enjoy is there. And here we are. It's a, you know, sandbox. We're kids. We want to play in the sandbox. We want to enjoy. So when I'm told, you know, no, the answer is yes. Don't tell me no. I'll be nice. I'll play nice, but you know, the abhinivesh, it's absorption in that spirit tendency of being the enjoyer of objects. I'll pick nice ones, but you know, that's my absorption. And then with it comes fear. And you can reduce fear in different ways. You can bluff. That's one way. It doesn't really reduce fear, but you know, the macho, no fear, is a bluff. So to go beyond fear requires a spiritual conception. And then you just navigate your way through prakriti in a different way. And then brings what real happiness, real enjoyment is, and fearlessness. A nice example from what we've been reading is the cowherd boys going into the mouth of a gossip. Some of them were like, uh-oh, let's get out of here. Look at this. And then some said, well, maybe it's just a big statue that Krishna put here for entertainment. They started considering different things, and as they got closer, they came to the conclusion, it's probably a big serpent that wants to kill us. But then two factors. One, we're curious. We're kids. We want to check it out. And the other is, we want to see Krishna exhibit his super potencies again, because like he's really good at it. Let's go. So it, in one sense, it's foolish. Then in another sense, it's fearless, because they know that they're protected. So when we know that we're protected, we don't do foolish things. But we know that we're protected. We're under the care of the internal potency, and nothing can touch us. I just heard Prabhupada say in a recording this morning, when you understand everything belongs to Krishna, nirmama, nothing is mine, then you have nothing to gain and nothing to lose, and you're fearless. But, you know, there is something that you don't want to let go of in that nirmama stage, and that is Krishna's shelter. Krishna, you're mine. And the phrase that's used for the residents of Vrindavan is mamata. You are mine. And I am yours. And that's the consciousness of fearlessness. Not that we own Krishna, he's mine, but the relationship with Krishna is mine. And that's fearlessness. And otherwise, there's the other kind, the material kind of fear. Abhinivesh, absorption, vayam dutriyam abhinivesh-yataksyat. And then we forget who we are, we forget who Krishna is, we forget all kinds of things, and we're in la-la land, trying to be the enjoyers of the temporary.
So I guess follow-up to that would be, if you don't feel that connection, do you fake it till you make it?
No, you no. Well, you can do different things. You can recognize that it's here. You know, in counselors will advise you, don't tuck fear under the rug, because then it just you're not faking anybody, including yourself. So you stare it in the face. And so you can, the nervous system becomes capable, just like the body is capable of healing itself, commonly. I went to an ear specialist because there was this big glob of, I couldn't hear. And then, so I made the appointment, and then this big glob came out on its own. And I, you know, this specialist said, "What's the problem?" I said, "Well, it came out." I made the appointment, and his comment was, "The body is designed and works in such a way it heals itself. But there's ways where the body doesn't heal itself, and that's one of the things is stress. It continues to exacerbate the situation." So you don't fake it. You don't you acknowledge it. This is the acceptance factor, you know, that teaching. And okay, I've got fear, and I know why the fear is there. At least notionally, I know why it's there. So now, I don't like feeling fearful. I like feeling free from fear. So here's a path that's a, time-tested path. Let me move along this path. I'm acknowledging, I'm accepting, I'm feeling fear because let me go towards the fearless place. That's sadhana. And as you go towards, as you do sadhana, what happens is the fear reduces. You know, the amplitude becomes less. Still there. But you then you start rubbing your hands together saying, "Hey, great, you know, this is a good program. I feel less fearful." Then you're back into being the enjoyer. It's just a sucker punch. It's Maya. So, to stay with the sadhana practice and the acceptance tendency or principle and move towards light. And don't try to be the enjoyer of the light. Just you. The bhakti principle is Krishna is the enjoyer. So we're not used to that. We're used to the other one, the being the evasion one. So I'm here because of my misuse of free will, and I accept it. I accept the responsibility for my choices. I accept the fear and the other kinds of negative emotion. Now let me move towards, you know, wholesomeness in a holistic way, not just one, in a way that, you know, it's doable for me. I can keep moving. And it takes some determination. It can't just, you know, do it for 5 minutes or 2 days and it's, you know, I'm cured now. It has to be sustained. It's something that's sustainable. And you do that. Take some determination to move on the spiritual path. Take determination to move on the material path.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. Up front.
Divyambara Mataji. When exactly does the material antakarana stop affecting a devotee? Is it after the spiritual antakarana is fully awakened or after it starts to awaken? Because the material antakarana is too difficult to deal with at times.
Well, it's great. Same question as the previous one. It's gradual. The rising of the sun in the morning is not, you know, a 10 and a 0. It's not suddenly there's sun. So gradual purification, etc. So the initial part of the question is when. Is when it's complete.
Question from Uttama Bhakta Prabhu. It's usually heard and read that deity worship is for less advanced devotees?
No.
Looks like it's for both less and more advanced devotees,
yes.
Depending how one views the deity. Is that the right conclusion?
Yes.
And last question. It is Urja Mataji. It is not possible to understand the internal energies of Lord Krishna to me.
It's not possible to understand the internal potencies?
Internal energies of Lord Krishna. Okay. Being aspiring devotee, which energies of the Lord should be understood or focused to serve?
Start with bhakti. Bhakti Shakti. Srila Prabhupada ki? Jai.